and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Happy Father's Day. I said Happy Father's Day. If only you know the meaning of fatherhood, you would have done better than you did. Happy Father's Day. I'm going to address the issue of fatherhood. I'm going to talk about certain rights and power and authority that fathers wield, irrespective of their belief system and who they are. As long as they are fathers, they wield certain powers and authority and command certain rights that have positive and negative effects or consequence. And it is critical for all of us to have a clear understanding of the roles of a father and the authority and the right they wield as a father, because if you lack understanding of this subject, it can have negative consequence on your life, and it can become a transgenerational issue that affects you and generation hereafter. Number one, we have three kinds of fathers. The first kind of father is our Heavenly Father that we all need if we are ever going to make it in life. You and I need to connect to our Heavenly Father. And the enemy's intent or determination is to separate you and I from our Heavenly Father. Number two, we need earthly fathers. Without an earthly father, you and I wouldn't be here. So we need earthly fathers. And earthly fathers will, and they command authority, power, and hold in their custody certain rights and privileges that can be exercised for good, not for evil, depending on their belief system. If they believe right, it's a blessing. And if they believe wrongly, it can have negative consequence. And therefore, it is important that we pray for our earthly fathers to get it right. Because if they get it wrong, it can have serious consequence, which is a luxury that you and I can afford. Then we have spiritual fathers. So we have a heavenly father, an earthly father, and a spiritual father. And the way you relate to these three fathers means a lot and determine the outcome of one's life and circumstances. So please keep that in mind. On Wednesday, God willing, I'll be dealing with the mark of a true son and the mark of a true daughter. There are certain marks, characteristics that reveals who your father is. And if you are a true son and daughter of a father, there are certain marks you must bear, you must demonstrate, you must show, and must be seen in your life. The Bible said that your father was an Ammonite and your mother was a Hittite. And the Bible said, as son, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. And I know you are born again and you are Holy Ghost filled. And since you got born again, all things are made new. It's not true like you think it is, because if you were overweight when you got born again, after the day you got born again, you are still overweight. And if you were fair or dark after you were born again, you are still dark or fair. Being born again don't change who you are physically, and it doesn't change your soul immediately. There are three dimensions of salvation. We were saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. What was saved? Your spirit. What is being saved? Your soul. what shall be saved? Your body. Your spirit is saved by being born again and receiving Christ Jesus into your heart. Your soul is saved and delivered through the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed into this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can be born again and Holy Ghost filled and be saved, and still have a wrong mentality and still believe wrongly. And if your belief is wrong, then it don't matter how much you are full of the Holy Ghost and how much of the Word of God you have in you. If your mind is not renewed through the Word of God and you still have the old mentality, it's like having a credit card that has expired and they send you a new credit card, but you still choose to use the old credit card which have expired. You can't do anything with it because it has expired. And a lot of us are using old mentality and old credit card that have expired to buy things when we have a new credit card. One of the first things every father has, whether they are saved or unsaved, whether they believe wrong or right, is the power to give life or death to their children. A father can give life or death to his kids. My dad wasn't born again. I encountered him at the age of 15 years for the first time, and I didn't like him because my mom had poisoned me about him. And I'm going to say some very deep things here, because for whatever reason, it looks like mothers always have a problem when it comes to managing their pain. And they set up their kids, and their kids become victims of their circumstances. And they always try to poison their kids with their pain and their grief. And I'll show it to you as we go along, that mothers, especially women of faith, you have to be very, very careful if you love your kids, what you tell them about their father. Do not expose the weakness of their father. Don't uncover the nakedness of their father if you love them. Because if you destroy the image of their father to them, you have destroyed the children. And I'll show you why. If you look at the United States of America, we have more African Americans in prison than we have in other community. And the reason is because most times when the women are hurt and offended, abused and taken advantage of by the men, they fail in managing their pain and their emotions, and therefore they use the kids as weapons to get back at their husbands. And trying to hurt the men by poisoning the children to be on their side and not on the side of their fathers, they don't know that they are destroying the kids, because the only authority a son or a daughter knows is a father. And if you destroy the image of a father to a son and a daughter, and therefore they have no respect and no regard for a father, they will break all the rules and the laws. Because if you study scripture carefully, it was never right from the beginning God's intention for a mother to command the children or to command the house. And mothers don't give identity. It's fathers who give identity. And where mothers, hear me, where mothers refuse to allow fathers to be fathers and interfere when it comes to the governance of the house and the decisions of the house, the Holy Spirit leaves that family. I'll prove it to you by Wednesday, you see. I'm going to take my time and break down some things, because I am a product. I'm a product of a lot of things based on who my father was and who my mother was. My father was an Amorite and my mother was a Hittite. And I'll show you what an Amorite means and what a Hittite means. And if you are a man and you marry a woman whose mother was a Hittite, even though she's born again, if she doesn't come under the governance and she doesn't come under some kind of mentoring of a woman of faith or a mother in Zion, she will have issues when it comes to submission and how to relate and respond to her husband or to a man. Because if her mother's belief is wrong and her mother's belief that men are useless and men have nothing to offer and men are irresponsible based on her personal pain and experience, she will inject that same belief into her daughter, and her daughter goes into marriage with that belief, and it doesn't matter who a man is, she will have the same mentality and belief system of the mother. And if you marry such a woman, it doesn't matter how anointed you are in trouble. It's not going to work. And if a man had no respect and love for a woman and grew up with that mentality, he injects the same thing into his son. If you beat your wife, your son grows up with that understanding and mentality and belief, he will beat his wife. Like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. Your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. Genesis 22 and 10. Let's begin quickly.
And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son.
Abraham was a man of faith. God tested or tried him or tempted him. He passed the test. But he was in a position to kill his son as a father. The son said, "Father, here is the wood. Everything in place for the sacrifice. But where is the lamb? Who is going to be killed? Who is the lamb? Who will be sacrificed?" And the father knew it was him, but he didn't tell him. And he said, "Jehovah Jireh, God shall provide for himself a lamb upon the mountain of the Lord." And he took the son at the age of 17 years and bound him up and took the knife and was ready to offer his son for a sacrifice. And the voice of Elohim echoed from the territories of eternity to time and said, "It is prohibited. Touch not the child." So fathers have power to hand over their children to life or death. 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 27. 2 Kings 3 27.
"Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land."
This was a father, but he was a heathen king. He didn't believe in Elohim or Jehovah. He believed in other gods and deities, but had the same right like Abraham. Abraham didn't follow through, but he went through because they believe in sacrifice of human beings and shedding of blood of human beings. And he sacrificed his firstborn son, sold him, gave him up to death, and killed his firstborn son because he was a father. He was in the office of authority. Now, it doesn't matter how smart you think you are, and how poor your father may be. And it is very important and critical that everybody prays for their father if your father is alive. Because I'm telling you, he can be used for good and he can be used for evil. And that's why we must pray for those in authority, even if you don't believe in them and even if you are in the opposition party. It is critical that we pray for those in authority because our prayers restrains and our prayers interferes or interrupts the agenda of the enemy for deploying that office, because politicians or the office of government or president is very powerful. It can be used for good or evil. It's like a sharp knife. It's like an ammunition and a gun. Whoever has it can use it for good or evil. So fathers can give life or death. Genesis 14, 15 and 16. Fathers can rescue their children. Abraham had a nephew who was like a son unto him, was captured. And Abraham had to prepare the army from his own house to go and rescue them and bring them back. Even when Lot was in the wrong and was in error, he still went out to save and to deliver. Fathers, it's expected of fathers to fight for their kids, to rescue their kids. Look at Genesis.
Reading from the English Standard Version. "And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people."
So this was his brother's son, Lot. Now the difference between Lot and Abraham was this. Anytime Abraham built a tent. The next thing he did was to build an altar. Lot built tents, but did not build an altar. The tent represented the place of their abode, residence. In those days, they dwelt in tents and not buildings like ours. But whenever Abraham built a house, he built an altar, a meeting place with divinity and humanity. Abraham recognized that spiritual blessing was necessary and higher than natural blessing. Lot was more into the natural blessing, and Abraham was more into the spiritual blessing. Whenever you build a house, like other religions, the Muslims and the Jews, they build a synagogue or a mosque in their homes. We build garages for cars, but we don't build a meeting place with God. If I were you, I would change from today. Anytime I build a house, instead of a garage, I'll build a meeting place with God. I'll put a cell in my house. When I moved to my house, before I build, the first thing I did was to convert the garage into a chapel. And when I build my own house, before I move into my house, I build a chapel. In the community where I live, I'm the only one who has a chapel in my house. I build a chapel that can take at least 200 and 250 people in my house. Because I understand that spirituality is above natural blessings. I understand that spiritual blessing is critical if I am going to prevail in life. And that was the pattern and the culture of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Lot emphasized, concentrated, and was more into natural blessing and didn't care about an altar, a meeting place with God. If I were you, I will always make sure that spiritual blessings come first before natural blessings. Say amen. Are you clapping your hands? You can't clap without a shout. The shout of the king is in the house. One of the things you must understand also is that fathers give children identity. Tell somebody, fathers give children identity. I want you to look at me. Mothers don't give children identity. It's fathers. You know, my dad and my mom were not together. But when I was born, after all the challenges my mom went through to give birth to me, when I was born, my father lived in Kumasi. He drove to Accra and he named me. And you know the name he gave to me? Nicholas. And I don't know why he named me Nicholas. I don't know why. And the Bible says, as his name, so he is. And years after I began to search into my name, in Ewe, my name means Nukuvi Nakbebi. And I started searching into my name and I found out that the meaning of my name is the conqueror of the people. And only time and eternity is a question I should have asked my father, why did you name me Nicholas? But fathers give children identity. And I look at something, anytime a mother tries to give children identity, they always do it out of emotions and pain. And they mess them up. And it had to be corrected later. Come with me, let me show you something. Today is Father's Day, so I'm hitting it hard. When it's Mother's Day, I will hit it also. Genesis 35, 16 to 18. Genesis 35, 16 to 18. So mothers, don't worry, you know I'm on your side. But today is Father's Day, so let's give it to the fathers. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, give it, take it, take it, take it. Papa is giving it to you, just take it. Take it in. Let's go ahead. Genesis.
And they journeyed from Bethel. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Sarah travailed, and she had hard
Who's
labor.
Who's travailed? Go back. Who
Rachel. And, Rachel and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor.
Hard labor. Oh, watch it.
And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing,
she was dying.
For she died. That she called.
Wait. Very difficult pregnancy. And there's a reason why a lot of women have difficult pregnancy. We'll tackle that as we go along. But today is Father's Day, so let's focus on fathers. Look at something here. Go ahead.
And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin.
You see, watch this. The father changed the name. There are two reasons why this thing happened. Number one, when he was leaving, he didn't tell the father-in-law. The father-in-law was angry and decided to come after Jacob to hurt him. At night, when he was asleep, the God of Jacob, the God of the father of Jacob, appeared to him. And listen to what God said to him in the dream. He said, I am the God of Jacob's father, and I've come to warn you. Be careful and take heed that you speak not good nor evil to Jacob. Don't speak good nor evil to the young man. I am the God of his father. Not Jacob's God, Jacob's father's God, and I've come to warn you. Now, when he got to Jacob, he said, why did you take my children and grandchildren away from me without telling me? He said, I was afraid. He said, where are my idols? He had a Ouija board that he served and inquired from. And the daughter Rachel took the Ouija board without telling the father. She stole the father's God. If your God, if your children can steal your God, then he's not powerful. Anyway, it's another subject for another day. So he said to Jacob, you stole my gods. And Jacob said, I am innocent. I know nothing about it. So he said, Jacob said to the father, you can search the tent. And the father-in-law searched the tent and everywhere and did not find the Ouija board. So he went to Jacob and said, I can't find it. I hold you responsible. Listen to what Jacob said. I'll show you on Wednesday. Very, very deep issue here. Jacob said, I am innocent. Let the one that took the Ouija board die. And fathers must be very careful, because you can kill with your mouth. And the Bible says she did not know that it was Rachel that stole the Ouija board. And Rachel was pregnant and was sitting on the idol of the father. So the father didn't ask her to get up. And when she went to deliver, because the husband has given her up and sold her up and said, let the one that took it die, it gave premature death permission to take Rachel. And sometimes people say things like, I wish I died. You don't have to give death permission, because it is already seeking for you. And that word, I wish I died, is imposition. Now, when Rachel saw that she was dying and her labor was difficult, was hard, she named the son Benoni. She named the child according to her pain, which means pain. Pain. And when Jacob heard the word Benoni, as a spiritual man, he understood the meaning of Benoni, pain. The Bible said he made a counter declaration and said, no, his name shall not be called Benoni. He shall be called Benjamin, the son of my right hand, because his fathers who give identity and not mothers. Now hear me, if you are a mother and you have issues with this, you have a problem with God and you are rebellious. I'm telling you. You must accept the wisdom of God. And every woman must accept the fact that God is wiser than you. Period. Irrespective of your logic and your belief system, it is what it is. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10.
And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Mm-hmm. And his mother called his name Jabez.
Who called his name Jabez?
His mother.
Who?
His mother.
Go ahead.
Saying, because I bear him with sorrow.
You see, his name means sorrow. Benoni, pain. Jabez, sorrow. So he had to pray a special prayers and petition God to reverse his name, that it will not grieve him, and that his future will not be determined by the name the mother gave him. I'm not saying that mothers are evil or bad. I'm just telling you God's order. And it is what it is. That mothers are not to name their children. It's fathers who name them. Whether the father is good or bad, it is what it is. And that's why you must pray for your father that he will get it right. Because if his belief system is wrong, he can be used by the enemy to hurt you. When I was growing up, I realized when I met my dad was a very powerful man. And I had a lot of problems with my dad. I hated him. And it was because of the things my mother told me about him and how my father treated her and all that. I took sides with my mom against my dad, and I didn't like him. I had a lot of anger in me towards him. And when I got born again, the Lord said to me, son, if you don't deal with that anger and pain in you and hatred for him, you will be worse than him. It put fear in me, and I said, okay, God, help me to let it go. And I had to immediately repent and let it go. And I remember I was in one of my attorney's office the other day, and I saw a writing in the wall, and it was Nelson Mandela. It was a picture and a writing. And he said, as I walk through this door to my freedom, I realize that if I don't leave behind my anger, my hatred, and my bitterness, I will walk through this door to freedom and still be in prison. There are so many of you here. You are in prison. You have been imprisoned by your past. You are imprisoned by the bitterness and hatred and anger of your past and the betrayals of your past and the offenses of what was done to you. You are in prison. The past has imprisoned you. You live in the now, but you are imprisoned by yesterday. I pray to God that you will live here today free. Like the African American said, thank God Almighty, free at last. I pray that today on Father's Day, somebody hearing the sound of my voice will be free at last. Hallelujah, somebody. Put your hands together and give God a shout in the house. So we establish that anytime a mother name a son or a child in the Bible, they operated by their emotions. But fathers are not allowed to do so. They must act in the spirit. Come with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 59 to 63. Luke 1, 59 to 63.
And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John.
You see, they name him after the father because the father was dumb. Sometimes what God does to us, when he's taking us through the process before the blessing, because I've watched in the church, people who get blessed without going through the process, the blessing always become a curse on them. I've watched it in this church. I've seen men, I've seen women over and over again who got blessed without going through the process. They end up becoming a problem. The blessing entraps them. The blessing becomes a curse. When people are promoted or they are lifted or exalted without going through the process, the blessing, the promotion becomes a snare and a curse. And when God saw that Zacharias doubted the prophetic word concerning the pregnancy of his wife, God said, I will shut your mouth. You will be dumb until the miracle comes to pass. Because if I don't shut your mouth, you will curse your blessing and your miracle with your mouth. Sometimes when you don't understand the process and you don't know what God is doing, shut your mouth. Hold your peace. Don't try to give any explanation. Don't try to make sense out of what you can't make sense of. Because when it comes to faith and belief, it doesn't make sense. When it comes to faith, belief, and trust, those things don't make sense. I've been preaching for 40 years, and there are things I still don't understand. And that's why I preached a message years ago entitled, I Understand That I Don't Understand What I Think I Understand. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word,
what a glory he sheds on our way.
Everything. I've seen people very knowledgeable, but very ignorant. Knowledgeable, but are unwise. Smart, intelligent, but are not wise. Once upon a time, I had an issue with Archbishop Idahoso of blessed memory. He came to Ghana with Oral Roberts, and I put together a crusade, and I filled the Ghana Sports Stadium, Accra Sports Stadium, over 100,000 people all over the place. We jam everywhere. But when Oral Roberts went back to America, he put in his magazine that I was then Pastor Nick. And he said that my church was one of the churches of Archbishop Idahosa. And one of the young pastors around me, very, very intelligent, smart young man, but lacked wisdom and was not wise, read the magazine and brought it to show me. And said, you have to react to this thing. Always remember that God does not react. And mature people don't react. And it's kids and amateur that reacts. And I don't like reacting. Because whenever you react, you lose wisdom. Whenever you react, you lose reasoning. You act on your emotions. And emotions don't think. When he showed me the article, the article said that my churches, action churches, belong to Idahosa. And with wisdom, there was nothing wrong about it because he's my spiritual father. So if my churches are his, so what? But I had this young man, so intelligent, so smart but unwise around me. And for whatever reason, he provoked me. And I believed him and followed his intelligence and his ignorance. And I wrote a letter to Oral Roberts and said that I raised an objection to this article. Idahosa is my spiritual father, but my churches are not under him. Will you please correct it? Oral Roberts took the letter and sent it to Idahosa. Idahosa read the letter and sent Bishop Coker and the principal of my Bible school to come and talk to me and invite me to Benin City so we can talk. And I refused to go. I said I wasn't going. And Bishop Coker said, Nicholas, do you know what you are saying? I said, yes, I'm not going. Tell Papa I'm not coming. He said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. Go and tell him I'm not coming. I was the only charismatic church in town in those days. I was the hot thing in town. There was no church, no charismatic church in Ghana. Everybody was coming to my meetings. Everybody who is anybody in charismatism was coming to my programs in those days. At the student hostel and association school. I became very arrogant because I was making it. I was the biggest thing and the hottest thing in town in those days. And it got into my head. So oxygen wasn't flowing to certain parts of my brains. Somebody say, mercy, mercy, mercy. So my hair was bushy. I didn't have this thing at the back here in those days. Bushy hair. And so Idahosa sent me a letter. And he said, Nicholas, now that you've come of age and you don't need me anymore, I'm releasing you to yourself. Be your own guide and direct your own life and ministry. Good luck. When I saw the letter, I showed it to the young man. He read it, so don't mind him. You see, you all, you have to be very careful who is around you. And that's why we have to pray for those in authority. Because it's not enough to have smart people around you. You need to have wise people around you. Because if you have smart people, intelligent people, but they are not wise, and they have not been tested and tried, and they haven't been through the process, they can mislead and misguide you as a leader. I'm telling you, that's why we have to pray for leaders. 1 week after that letter, I turned the letter and I burned it, and I made declarations on the letter. 1 week after, I was in the house, and three men came armed, and I asked them, "What do you want?" They said, "We have instructions to pick you up." And I said, "By whose authority?" They said, "By the government. You are under our care now. Please bring your passport and all your documents." And I went through investigation for 2 years. I won't tell you the rest. Everything that could be done was done to me. I wouldn't have been standing here today by God's mercies. And I prayed every prayer. It didn't work. I bind and it wasn't binding. I resist and it wasn't being resisted. I stood against everything. Nothing worked. And an old woman of God came to me and said, "You have to go and make peace with us. I'm not going anywhere." And then one of my fathers, Elder Saki, I went to him and said, "Papa, Bishop Nyako knows." I went and said, "Papa, I don't like what is happening to me. Everything is falling apart. People are rebelling against me. People are breaking out of my church and setting up their own churches." And he said, "Let me go and talk to the Lord. I'll come back to you." A few days after, he came to me and he said, "The Lord said, you've touched one of his anointed. And unless he forgives you, this thing won't stop." I sent letters to Idahosa. He won't respond. I did everything, and somebody told me he was in London. I flew to London. I got to know the church he was preaching at. I ambushed him at the hotel lobby. Came out of the car. When he got to the lobby, I fell prostrate on my feet and I said, "Mercy. Mercy." Somebody say, "Mercy." Somebody shout, say, "Mercy." And he said, he shook his head and he said, "Satan is between me and my stand. He's between me and my song. Stay out of it." That is how the case ended. I won't tell you what happened after then. But one of the guys in security told me, he said to me, "You, we had instruction after the crusade at the Accra Sports Stadium to pick you up. But anytime we plan to pick you up, there will be some kind of crisis and disturbance, and we have to pay attention to that and leave you alone." But he said, for whatever reason, when I calculated it, it was a week after that letter, there was a window, there was an opening to come for you. That's why we came and pick you up. May the enemy not have an opening. May he not have an occasion to come after you. May there always be a restraining force to block me from reaching you, in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Sit down for 2 minutes. The other thing I learned was from my father. Some of my siblings are here. I have 36 brothers and sisters. Every one of my siblings who had a problem with my father, and for whatever reason, they had conflict and problems with my father. Some died when he was alive, and many of them have died. And my sister is here. When my father was dying, he called everybody, and I'm one of the youngest. And he said to everybody, "I'm handing you all over to Nicholas." Hear me, don't clap. That was a very serious thing. And it was there I understood that this man is a spiritual man. And he said, "I'm handing you over to him. If you listen to him, it will be well with you. And if you don't listen to him, it's up to you." And he said, "He's young, but he's the Joseph of my children. So listen to him." Hear me. You see this office? You see my office here? Many years ago, my father told me something. He said, "I had a dream, and I want you to write it down. Share some of this thing with Bishop Nyako." He said, "This whole place here was a desert." And my father said, "I found myself driving on the Springtex Road, and I came to this place. I saw this huge building and a big white offices. And he said, I saw a bank. There was a hospital, university." He started talking about things. And he said, "And I was taken, I asked, who does this belong to? And I was taken in the second floor, and you came out, Nicholas." And he said, "Write it down, you'll be great." And I looked at him and I said to myself, "How can you see these things when you are not born again?" All the dream he had has come to pass. Before I built that building, before I had this land, I was given 5 acres, and Central Gospel Church was given 5 acres at Fadama. And the Lord said, don't take the church to Fadama. If you take it there, it will die. Go to another side. And I said, another side where? There was no land in town. I went into a fast. On the 24th of December, an alaji called Abbas Cuba, of blessed memory, called me. And he said, Bishop, assalamu alaikum. And I said, alaikum salam. So we spoke, and he said, I want to show you something. And he brought me to this land. And he said, I've checked the documents. It looks like this land is available. Do you like it? And I said, yes. And he said, let me talk to President Rawlings. And he came back and he said, you can have it. And that is how we came here. And I realized, one of my fathers called Kwame, my elder brother. One of my siblings is here, she'll tell you. My father had a problem with him. And my father and my grandmother, they were one. So my grandmother supported my father. And my grandmother told me, talk to Kwame now. And this brother of mine had been to Bible school and everything, my Bible school, to be a minister and all that. So my grandmother said, talk to him, Nicholas. Talk to him to make this thing right with your father. Your father is very angry, and I don't like seeing him angry this way. So I went to Kwame. I was traveling on Friday to London. I went to him and I said, listen, I don't know what it is. The old man may be wrong, but he's your father. Just let it go. Apologize to him. He said, I won't do it. I'll not apologize to him. He's wrong. Who does he think he is? I traveled to London on Friday. I arrived London on Saturday morning, and I had a call that he died on Saturday early morning. And you know where they found his body? They found his body between my father's bathroom and the bedroom. His head was lying there, bleeding from his nose and from his ears, not sick. Nothing happened to him. He just bled from his nose and his ears, dead. When I called my father, he said, he's a cursed son. Don't bring his body to my house. From the mortuary, take him straight to the cemetery and bury him. He did not cry. He was not emotional. And I said, who is this man? I'm telling you, hearing me today, natural fathers and spiritual fathers has power. They might not even know it, but Satan knows it, and Satan can use it, and God can also use it.
And they said unto her, uh-huh, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name.
Uh-huh.
And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Mm-hmm. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, mm-hmm, his name is John. And they marveled all.
You see, they won't accept what the identity the mother gave. They said to the mother, no, this is not acceptable. It's fathers who give identity, not mothers. So you carried the child 9 months, but you are not permitted to give him an identity, because name defines who the child becomes. But when the father confirmed the name, that was the name that was given to him. We need to understand the ordinances of God. We cannot change divine order, irrespective of signs and irrespective of, what do you call it, breakthrough in knowledge. We cannot change. The problem with this world, we are trying to change the original plans of God, the original intent and the ordinances of God. You cannot change it. And that is the problem of this world. Women are becoming men, and men are becoming women. I prayed for women who changed their organs to become men. And I prayed for men who changed their organs to become women through surgery. I've dealt with women who told me, I feel like I am a man trapped in a woman's body. And I've dealt with women, men, who feel like they are women trapped in a man's body. I'll show you why in the Bible on Wednesday. I'll show you where that comes from. It began from the womb. It goes into the subconsciousness. It's the desire of the mother that is programmed and registered in the subconsciousness. So the mother wants a boy. She ends up with a girl. But the subconsciousness tells the child, you were meant to be a boy and not a girl. And so she's a girl, but she acts like a boy, put her legs in the father's shoe, does everything like a boy, hang with boys, don't want to have anything to do with girls. There's a reason for that. It's in the Bible. Genesis 2, 19 to 20.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for
him. I want you to look at me. Please hear me carefully. This is Father's Day, and I have to say it as it is. When it's Mother's Day, I'll say it. Hear me carefully. It wasn't Adam and Eve. This thing about equality between men and women, who said that there's a problem of equality? There has never been any problem. There's never been a problem. A woman is a woman. A man is a man. It is what it is. That doesn't make women less important than men. And we have to be very careful that we don't suddenly come to a place where we're talking about equality. Who said they have been a problem? They've never been a problem. Women carry the seed. That's what it is. It's men that give the seed. Women carry. No man can go to the labor ward to give a child, to give birth to a child. You die. You can't do it. Try it. And hear me. It is believed that women are weak. You see, it's their constitution, but they are stronger than men. You know why? It's biologically proven that women are stronger than men. Because the one that bears and has capacity to endure more pain is stronger than the one that can handle pain. And the kinds of pain women can handle, no man can attempt it. Don't even try it. Number two, it is also biologically proven that women think with two sides of their brains. And men think with one side of their brain. That's where a woman will be cooking in the kitchen. She's on the phone. She's watching television. She's handling the kids. And everything is fine. And a man, women, you have to increase the offering. A man is watching football and the children are fighting and the phone is ringing and he can't hear because he has to concentrate on one thing at a time. The reason why it is believed that women don't lie is not because women don't lie. It's because they think with two sides of their brains, so they remember everything and they are detail-oriented and men are general-oriented. So women remember everything. Men don't remember everything. That's why they lie. If you like, husband and wife are sitting here. Let me interview them right now and ask the woman the day they met, the date, what the man was wearing and what she was wearing. The woman has all the records, remembers everything. The man don't remember what shoe and what shirt, what watch, what time is it, what day. They don't remember. Even birthdays, even wedding anniversary, they don't remember. Including myself. So you know what I do? My secretary has all the information and she reminds me. 1 week before the time, she reminds me. So I'm ahead of things. It's just because somebody reminds me. Because we are not detail oriented. When I go home, Rosa wants to know everything. Who did you talk to? What did you talk about? Who and who came to see you? What was it about? What did you eat? What did you drink? Did you take your vitamins? Have you rested? How are you feeling? Listen, I don't want all the interrogation. You know, I'm tired. I've had a long day. I just need some love. Just give me some love, baby. All this interrogation, who came to see me? And I don't do that. I don't ask her who came to see you. What did you do? How many emails? I don't ask all those things. I just want love. But the woman, they don't operate love that way. Before they give you love, brother, they want some information. You have to talk. And sometimes I don't want to talk, but she wants to talk. I'm telling you. You're not about 2:45. She was still talking, interrogating me. And I said, baby, in the name of Jesus, I shut this conversation down. Then she got upset. She called the kids and said, can you see what your daddy did? She shut me down. And I said, baby, I didn't shut you down. I'm just tired of repeating everything again. I've had a long day. I just want to sleep, baby. And just want some love. Can you stop all this and massage me, please? She said, if you answer my questions, I'll massage you. This thing called woman is no joke. That's why God put the man to sleep. Because if God didn't put the man to sleep, would have interfered with the whole process. Would have asked too many questions. Why are you putting this here? Why is this here? Why is this way? God said, go to sleep. Sleep. When you wake up, you won't know what I've done. Just admire it. That's it. Amen. All right, I'll continue on Wednesday. It won't be, I want to teach something, so Wednesday we won't be grouping. But I want to show you some few scriptures quickly. Fathers curse, they have the power to bless and to curse. And whether they are born again or not born again, it stands. And it's very dangerous. And I've seen so many fathers curse their kids. I've seen fathers curse their kids. And I've seen fathers who didn't curse their kids, but they also didn't bless them. They ignore them. And I have done it several times to some of my pastors and bishops. When I see that they are disloyal and they always want to act that they are better than I and they want to be good books of the people and undermine me and try to make me look bad so they can look good, I won't curse you. I won't bless you. I will just ignore you. And I do that to a lot of them. I won't fight you. I won't curse. I won't say anything. I will just do without you and I'll leave you to suffer. Genesis 9. 25 to 27. Look at something here.
And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren.
Underline the word cursed and servant of servant. Those are serious curses. First, he cursed him. Then he said, this is how the curse is defined. He will be a servant of servant. Hey, that means the poor will call him poor. And this was his son. This was his grandson. And it wasn't Canaan who uncovered his father's nakedness. It was Canaan's father who sinned. It wasn't Canaan that sinned. What does it mean here? Consequence of the mistakes or the errors of the fathers. So a father can do something wrong and it can have serious implication on his children. That's why parents, before you act, be very careful. And I want to say this to women also, if you are married to a man who have children before you married him, or for whatever reason he went to have kids outside of the marriage, don't prevent him from taking care of those children. Don't stand in his way. Don't let your fears and your insecurity deny him the right to take care of those kids, because it carries serious curses. And if you won't let him take care of another one's children, it won't be well with your children. And if you're a man and you have children outside your marriage and you're not taking care of them, you are not a father, you are not a man, you are a woman and you are Shegelele.
And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Shem. Canaan shall be his servant.
Shem, you see? Shem, he put Canaan under Shem, his grandson. Canaan didn't sin. It was Canaan's father, Ham, who uncovered the nakedness of his father. Let me tell you something. Never take signs against your father. It's not good. Whether he's saved or unsaved, don't take signs against him. Number two, don't uncover your father's weakness or nakedness to anybody. Don't do it. And even if you are married and you're a woman, don't share the nakedness of your father with your husband. He will use it against you one day. And don't share, if you're a man, the nakedness of your father to your wife. One day she will use it against you. Cover it. Put it in God's hands. Don't do it. Go ahead.
God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
You see, you look at the level of curses that was put on Canaan. He was made servant of all his brethren. He was cursed. And a curse simply means programmed to fail by all means. That's all it means. You are programmed to fail irrespective of your skill and capabilities. That's what it means. Who sinned? It wasn't Canaan. Canaan was the grandson. It was Ham that sinned. Sometimes folks in church can go talk about the business of their church or their archbishop to friends and family and loved one. Sometimes even you parents, when you are angry with the church, you talk to your children about the problems you have with the church. So after you've resolved it, your children don't want to come back to the church. You destroy the church to them. You tell them how angry you are with Papa. How this, how that. You talk about Papa's children with your kids. You spoil their mind. You poison them. And then after you've gotten over it, you don't know why your children don't want to have anything to do with God and the things of God. It has serious implications. Turn to somebody and say, be careful. turn to somebody else and say, careful, careful, careful. Now, watch this. It was Ham that sinned. Now, watch this. Ham was not cursed. Ham was not cursed, but Ham was not blessed. And he did not curse all the children of Ham. We came out of Ham. The black people, dark skin, we came out of Ham. Our father's name is Cush. Cush means the man with the dark skin. And one of Ham's children name was Cush. And that is where we black people came from. But Cush was not blessed. And Cush was not cursed. But Cush was ignored. And Ham was ignored. It was Canaan that was cursed. And the reason why we struggle as black people, even though we were not cursed, we were not also blessed. We were ignored. And that in itself is a curse. I'll show you some things on Wednesday, but I want you to come with me. So fathers have power to bless and to curse. I've seen fathers who were nothing, didn't have anything. And they said to their children, because of what you've done for me, may God show you mercy. Meanwhile, this man, he hasn't done anything with his life. Oh, and he just blessed and speak blessings upon that child. And for whatever reason, that child makes it. Because your father has blessed you. And your father can also curse you. And the Bible didn't say honor him if he's a believer. Whether he's an idol worshiper or a believer, he's your father. He can be used for good or for evil. He's a weapon. He's like a knife, a sharp knife or a gun. Whoever deploys that sharp knife or gun can use it for good or for evil. It is what it is. Come with me, please, to Genesis 27:27, quickly. 27:27.
And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed.
28.
Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven.
Look at the blessing of Jacob.
And of the fatness of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And plenty of corn and wine.
Look at me quickly because of time. Hear me. When the mother was pregnant, Rebecca, there was this fight inside of her. So she went to God and said, what is this fight? It looks like two people are fighting inside of me. And the Lord said, two nations are in you, the Esau nation and the Jacob nation. And the Lord said, but I have disinherited the elder brother and I've given the blessing to Jacob the youngest. And watch this. They fought in the womb in the state of unconsciousness. And I'll show it to you. I'll show you another scripture on Wednesday that will shock you. From this same bloodline, they fought in the womb. They fight in the womb in the state of unconsciousness for the birthright. This very bloodline, very serious people in this bloodline. God said to Rebecca, I have given the blessing to Jacob, not Esau. The father, Isaac, didn't hear what the mother heard. When the father was old, before he died, he called Esau and he said, Esau, come, go fetch me venison, such as I love. When I've eaten and my soul is satisfied, I will bless thee. Remember, the blessing of a father conferred on a child, a son or a daughter, is determined by the satisfaction of the father's soul. And hear me, number two. It wasn't what God said that determined who got the blessing. It was the venison that determined who the blessing went to. I've said something, eh? Some of it will take you next year to understand what I say. I'm saying something very serious here. That it wasn't what God said that determined who got the blessing. It was the venison that determined who got it. Rebecca heard it and said to the son, Jacob, I heard something your father didn't hear. But according to the ordinance of God, the blessing can only come through him and not even through God and not through me, but through him. So disguise yourself. Go in, bring me some meat. Let me prepare venison such as he loves. Present it to him. Disguise yourself. If you don't get it, as soon as Esau brings the venison, the blessing will go to him and God can't do anything about it. So Jacob went in, did as the mother said, brought the venison. After he received the venison and ate it, he blessed Jacob. Then Esau came and he said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. He said, so who did I bless? And he realized that it was Jacob. And he couldn't revoke the blessing. He couldn't reverse it. He couldn't take it back. And he said, Esau, I'm sorry. I've given it to him. And as a matter of fact, I've made him Lord over you. And I can't change it. It's irrevocable. And it wasn't what God said. It was the venison. And over the years, I've blessed people I shouldn't have blessed. And I've learned to be very careful of who I lay hands on and who I bless. Because I've blessed the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've blessed people. One time, I was going to make somebody a bishop. in a country somewhere, I won't mention the name. And in the host of blessed memory said to him, he said, son, don't make him bishop. You will empower him and he will come and fight you one day. So don't empower him. Don't do it. And I backed off. It was years after I realized what the old man said was true. I've been to churches I shouldn't have gone to. And I've gone there and I prayed and blessed places and left my anointing there. And I shouldn't have gone there. They should have never been blessed by me. But I was emotional about it and I wasn't led by the Spirit. On Wednesday, I want to show you the five signs or mark of a true son and a true daughter. If you are a true son and a true daughter of your father, you must demonstrate certain signs and marks. If it's not there, you are not legit. And I'll show you some deep things. Come with me, if you please, to Genesis 49 and verse 3 to verse 5. I want to show you something quickly and we'll close. I have just some few minutes.
Reuben, thou art my firstborn.
Watch this, oh, watch this. Look at this. These things here are all privileges. Privileges that Reuben had. He said, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. My might, not your might, my might is in you. The beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. You have all these privileges. Look at verse 4.
Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel.
You know what it means? He didn't say you are cursed. Listen to what he said. That's why you have to be careful of statements your father made. And a lot of us, we provoke our father to anger. And it's not good to provoke your father to anger. I'm talking about Father's Day. Don't provoke your father to anger. It's not good. Satan can use it against you. You see, your father is like a sharp knife. He can be deployed for your good or for evil. It depends on who has him, God or the devil. You got to be careful. Now, you know what happened? Reuben went and had sex with one of his father's concubines in his father's bedroom, on his father's bed. And the old man kept quiet. He didn't say anything. Sometimes these old people, and they are very dangerous. He didn't say anything. When he was about to die, and it was time for him to bless the children, he began Reuben and said, Reuben, let me tell you something. You are good. You've been to the best of school. You are intelligent. You are smart. You are educated. You are this. You are that. But I'm telling you as your father, unstable as water is, you will not excel. What does it mean? It doesn't matter how hard you try. With all these privileges, you will always be a failure. That's it. Check the life of Reuben. When Moses was blessing the children of Israel, when he got to Reuben, he couldn't bless Reuben. And I'll tell you why. When Moses met God at the burning bush, he said to him, who are you? And listen to what God said and how God defined himself. He said, I am the God of your father, Abraham. I am the God of your father, Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jacob was of a higher spiritual rank or ranking than Moses. And let me explain it to you. Because Jacob cursed Reuben, Moses could not override Jacob's pronouncement over Reuben. The best he could do was to make atonement and intercession. And he said, let not Reuben die and let not his men be few. He couldn't change what Jacob said. Number two, when Joshua cursed Jericho and said, curse be Jericho and curse be the man who rebuilds the city of Jericho and raise the walls of Jericho, he will lay the foundation with his firstborn son and will raise the wall, set up the gates with his secondborn son. I will show you on Wednesday in the book of Kings how that came to pass. You know who reversed that curse? It took a man with a double portion of a father's anointing by the name of Elisha to reverse that curse and to heal the waters and the land. Let me explain that to you. If, for instance, you have a problem with me and you decide to leave this church and I said something against you out of provocation and anger, you must make sure that you go to a church and submit to a pastor or a man of God that is more anointed than me. That's all I said. No, you don't get it. That's the principle. Because if he's not more anointed than me, and if he's not weighty more than me in the spirit, he can't override my words. He can't do it. It will still affect you. It doesn't matter how many churches you attend. And I've seen people in this church who became powerful, had money, started misbehaving, left this church, went places, spoke ill of me, condemn me, and this, I didn't say anything. Bishop Nyakun will tell you, I've marked all of them. From the top, they start falling. It's a matter of time. Everything withers. Talking about people loaded, millionaires. I don't want to mention names. I don't take delight and pleasure in that. It hurts me, but it happens. And the reason why when people get money and they get some position, they start misbehaving is because they haven't been through the process. And promotion and success without going through the process is disaster in waiting. I want to go through the process. Amen. Now look at chapter 5. Look at verse 5 of Genesis 49 quickly.
Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations.
6.
O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be thou not united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall.
7.
Cursed be their anger.
Look at it.
For it was fierce.
Stop here. I'll take you into details on Wednesday. Look at me. You see that word? How many of you remember Moses? Wave at me. Remember Moses? You know why Moses didn't enter the promised land? It's because of this pronouncement. Cursed be their anger. Moses. You know who this Levite is? That is Moses' great grandfather. He came from the line of Levi. His father was a Levi. And their anger was cursed. And it was a result of his anger. That's why he did not enter the promised land. God said, speak to the rock. And he smote the rock. And God said, listen, I'm not taking it anymore. This family is unacceptable to me. And he said, you will see the land, but you will not enter. After 40 years of sufferings, he did not enter the land because that anger was cursed. And I'll show you the woman at the well, why Jesus had to go to the well and why that woman had to go to town to bring the men and not the women. Because they slew all the men of that city at the same place. They call it Jacob's well. That well, there's an issue about that well. I'll show it to you on Wednesday. The anger of Levi prevented Moses, third generation, from entering into the promised land. You know, stand on your feet. I'll stop here.